Thanks for joining us, and we hope that you'll continue to join us even after my address here, and we're going to have some savories and sweets, I think, is what I heard backstage here, so come and join us, and we will have a great time continuing together. So the title of this message is, as you see on the screen there, The Most Important Story, and we're going to be talking about seven C's. Most of us love stories, and this is the most important story you will ever hear. But this story, if you want the happy ending, has to be believed. This is the story of God and us. It's a story like many others in that there are things to marvel at. There are things to be frightened of. There are things to look forward to. But the happy ending is only for those who believe the story. I've told this story many times in many different ways. Since this time I'm telling it for Christmas Eve service, we may consider it a Christmas story. At other times, it's been an Easter story, or a story for comfort at a funeral, or to celebrate a wedding. This story is appropriate at all times, but this time I will tell it as a Christmas story because it is the Christmas story. And I hope that you will believe this story because it's true. I hope that you will believe it because you must. And I hope that you will believe it because if you do, you and I then are family. It's the story of God's eternal plan. And we're going to look at seven C words to help us remember it. Those words are creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, and consummation. The story begins with the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. And as creator of everything, he had authority to dictate the rules that his creation must follow. His original creation, he declared, was very good. Our first C, creation, is a word that has a root that is used in several senses. In one sense is the word creator. If there is a creation, there is a creator. We use the word creator for artists and for engineers. Something created has a creator. And from this word, we also get creature. Creatures are created beings. All created beings belong to the creator, so all of us as creatures are the sole property of the creator. And the creator gets to decide what happens with the creatures and what rules and ordinances they must follow. To the first human beings, God gave only one rule to follow. They were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Outside that one rule, Adam and Eve could do whatever they wanted in the garden. They could enjoy any fruits. They could do whatever activities they cared to do. But rather than obeying this one command, they ate the forbidden fruit. And that is when sin entered the world and changed everything. Our second C word is corruption. God's perfect creation was now marred by sin, and it impacted everything. We see the results of this constantly. But the greatest consequence of this corruption was a broken relationship between God and man. God, you see, is perfectly holy. He could not permit sin without a punishment. So Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, and God killed animals so that he could cover Adam and Eve, since in their shame, their nakedness was no longer innocent. This also showed that blood must be shed to cover sin, and it showed that God was being gracious even in dealing with the sin of his people, because he allowed an animal to be killed as a substitute for the humans. They're the ones that deserve death for their rebellion against the holy God. He allowed a substitute in the form of animal sacrifice. So it was that the corruption came upon the earth after the creation had been made good and perfect. Even as he was disciplining Adam and Eve, he gave them hope that he would one day send a redeemer who would buy back those who believe, who would restore them in their relationship to God, even as that redeemer took on himself the wrath of God that the sinful humans deserved. unfortunately, the corruption that marred the creation continued. And God brought catastrophe upon the world. That's our third C word. The catastrophe was a worldwide flood that wiped out all living things except for those on the ark. This flood was God's judgment on the immorality of his creation. Remember, the creator is over the creature. God saved Noah, his family, and enough animals to repopulate the earth once the flood subsided. God will not and cannot tolerate sin, and this catastrophe of the flood is a grave reminder to us of that fact. Yet once again, God showed his graciousness as he provided salvation to Noah and his family, which came through faith as Noah built the ark based upon his trust of God's word. After Adam and Eve being expelled from the garden, after a worldwide flood, one would hope that mankind would have understood and begin to obey God and not do wicked things. But once again, mankind showed their rebellion against God. When he commanded them to disperse over the earth, instead, they stayed in one place, choosing to try and build a tower to heaven. These puny creatures were thinking they somehow could become gods through the combined knowledge and work. Once again, God displayed his power. He confused their languages so that they could not understand each other. Since they could no longer communicate with each other, they now spread out. People of shared languages choosing to live among those they could understand. That's our fourth C word, confusion. God confused the language of the people. Creation, corruption, catastrophe, and confusion. But the fifth C word is a great C word, and that is Christ. This is where our Christmas story begins. Of course, we celebrate at Christmas that Jesus came to us. Jesus, who the Bible calls the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. That's a staggering thought. Jesus was God, so highly exalted, yet he came in the humble form of a servant, being born in lowly conditions. And not only did he come to us, he died on a cross. All of the past events of the Bible pointed to him. When God killed animals to cover Adam and Eve's sins and promised them a redeemer, he was speaking of Jesus, who would die to have his blood shed to cover the sins of many. When he saved Noah and his family from the flood, he shut them in with supernatural power and protected them. And when the ark finally rested on dry ground, they went through the door of the ark into their new life. Jesus said, "I am the door," by which he means he is the way to access salvation and reconciliation with God. He also said he was the way. So Jesus came. Christ is our fifth C word. But his work was not complete until the sixth C word, cross. Jesus suffered and died on the cross for the sins of all who put faith in his sacrifice on their behalf. So God had promised a Messiah, a Savior who would come. To the people of the Old Testament, they had to believe in this promise. Once Christ came, died, and was raised again, those who wish to be made right with God must believe that his sacrifice is sufficient for their salvation. They have to have faith. So it means, in other words, for trusting what God said. This faith is linked with a sense of our own failure to live up to God's standards, to have true sorrow for sin before a holy God, to recognize that in our fallen state of sin, all we deserve from God actually is wrath and eternal punishment. That's all we deserve. But understanding, instead of giving us what we deserve, God has offered on our behalf a substitute in the form of his own Son. He graciously gives even the faith to believe to those he saves. Thankfully, Jesus didn't stay on that cross. Sometimes you see crosses with Jesus still on it. I don't like those as much because Jesus did not stay on that cross. He was raised from the dead. lived among men for a little while longer, and then he ascended back into heaven in the sight of many witnesses, whose accounts we can read for ourselves in the most verifiable historical document ever to exist from the ancient times, and that is the Holy Bible. Nothing comes close to being more verifiable with more documentation than the Bible. Now he reigns in heaven, and we look forward to the final day when Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. To those who refuse to believe in him, he will judge them and sentence them to eternal conscious torment. We call that hell. And that's a lot. That's the lot of the unbeliever. That's what the unbeliever has in store for them as their destiny. So please do not remain in your unbelief if you are not a believer. Because I tell you this with love for you and love for your eternal soul, you do not want to be condemned by Jesus at the final judgment. For those who believe in him, his eternal kingdom will begin at that time. This is our final C word, consummation. When Christ's work of salvation is complete, when the earth and heavens are remade, the curse of sin forever removed, in the new heavens and new earth, there will be no more death, crying, or pain. And for all eternity, those who have believed this story will rejoice and worship God together, experiencing never-ending bliss and wonder at the incredible God of all who saved them through the gift of his Son. When Jesus was born, many of the faithful to God, they had been anticipating for many centuries the promises of God being fulfilled, the promise of a Savior to God to come. He had given prophets who told the story and told them what would happen. And yet they waited. And people wondered, when is it going to happen? Sometimes people wonder that today. When is Jesus going to come again? But he came, and the announcement was made, not to the politicians, not to the highest-ranking peoples of society, not to the wealthy. It came to the most humble workers of that society, the shepherds. And this is the announcement that was made. Ariella read verses 1 through 7 earlier. This is verses 8 through 14 of Luke chapter 2. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This news of great joy is Christ. He's the centerpiece of God's plan to restore the relationship between himself and his rebellious creatures. This is what the story of Christmas is all about. At Christmas time, we focus on the birth of Christ, but as you can see, it's not just about the birth of Christ. The story starts centuries before, and it continues even today, and you need to believe the whole story, not just part of it. Because believing in this story is the most important thing you will ever do. It has implications into eternity. And I've briefly summarized the story here, but you need to look into it for yourself. If you're not yet sure, there are two things you need to do. First, you need to cry out to God and ask him to reveal the truth to you. Ask him to remove any doubts you have and to draw your heart to him. And second, search the scriptures to see if these things are true. God himself superintended and inspired the scriptures, and he promises to reveal by his Spirit the truth of them to all who sincerely seek him. He said, "Those who seek me will find me when they seek me with all of their heart." If you have not had faith in Jesus and understood this story and believed it, are you curious at all? Have you known believers and wondered how can they have peace and joy even when things are going hard for them? Do you wonder why at this season, Christmas, there's a special feeling in the air? Could it be that the most important story is real? And this is a special time of year because we focus on the birth of Jesus, who is the centerpiece of this grand story. Are you curious at all? If you have any curiosity at all, any desire to know more, you need to pray to God to save you, that He would implant the faith in you that you need to believe. Do not delay. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't wait to put faith in Christ. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Remember the seven C's. God is the creator, and you are His creation. He has authority over you, whether you like it or not. Corruption came into the world through sin, and we were all born into it. We need to have a way to have our sin removed so that we can have a right relationship with God. Continued sin brought corruption, showing us that God will not always withhold His wrath from the due punishment that sin deserves. And God brought confusion to earth because man again was rebelling against Him. But He continued through all of that to promise a way for people to be made righteous. And in Christ, our fifth C word, He showed what true righteousness looks like. The cross displayed God's wrath towards sin when all His wrath was poured out on Christ on behalf of those He would save. And He is coming again for the consummation of all things. Will you be ready to face Jesus as judge? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Scripture teaches us that there is no salvation in anything else, only through Jesus. You could sell all you have and give it to the church. That won't save you. You can do all kinds of good deeds. That won't save you. No amount of duty keeping or penance or anything else will ever save you. God cannot be bribed. He is not a judge who can be paid off. Your sins have earned you death and the wrath of God. Do you really think you have good enough deeds to make Him forget your rebellion against Him? Either you pay the penalty for your sin for all eternity in hell, or you trust in Christ who paid the penalty of sin for all who trust in Him. My friends, that is the wonder of Christmas. That is the beautiful story. I love Christmas stories. Most of you that know me know that by now. And I love sharing them, and I hope they bring some joy and pleasure to many people. But this story, this one's the most important one. You must believe it because it's true. You must believe it because it's the only way for you to be made right with God. Remember the two things to do. If you're not sure yet if you believe, first, cry out to God and ask Him to reveal Himself to you and to show you the truth. Second, search the Scriptures. The only infallible source of information about God's plan for you is the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. I tell my congregation, and some of you are visitors, so I'm telling you, all the time I say, don't take my word for it. Go and read the Bible. Why do you rely on others to tell you what the Bible says? I mean, that's good. Hopefully they're telling you the truth, but you need to also know and verify it for yourself. Like the president of my childhood said, trust but verify, right? So who do you rely on? There's a lot of voices out there. There's all kinds of people that will tell you all kinds of ways to get what you think you want. The only infallible source is God's Word, His Holy Scripture. So why not read it for yourself, asking God to help you understand it, and become a student of the Scriptures, and you will find life there. You will find peace there. You will find love there, and you will find joy in God's Word. At this time, we're going to close our service as we traditionally do with the lighting of candles. I'm going to ask my family to come up with their candles. And what we do is we take the flames from these candles and we pass them down the rows. And this is to remind us that we have light to share with others. So if you know Christ, you want to share Him with others. So as Brandon leads us in one of our favorite songs, we're going to light our candles together.